Jonathan and I have been influenced by this book that we read by a pastor named Andy Stanley. And he and his staff have worked over the years and have come up with 5 ways that we can grow our faith, that we can build our faith in Jesus. And so we're going to cover those 5. It's written for pastors to think about it from a church point of view, but we've decided to kind of change it and bring it down to earth for each one of us. So that's what we're going to be talking about. I'm tackling the second one today. But to get us started, I want to take a poll with you guys. So we're going to... We're going to put this poll up here. I just saw Janine had to leave because she's doing double duty back there. Sorry, Janine. I always point her out right when she's stepped away from the table. So here's this poll. And what we want to do here is I want to ask you, don't vote yet because I need to explain it to you. So there's something called hurry sickness. Now, when we were a launch team a couple years ago, we did this a similar thing, but we never took the poll together. So hurry sickness is something that we suffer from in today's society. I want to see how sick you guys are. Are you ready to participate? Okay, so let me explain these. So how many of you suffer from, and I'm going to tell you these 5 things, and then when we're done, you're going to vote how many of them you have, okay? So the first one is never have enough time. So do you start your day or start your task or start your job already at the beginning feel like, I don't have enough time? Do you ever feel that? Maybe every day? I don't have enough time to get it all done. I don't have enough time to get everything done. Okay, so that's number one. Chafe when you wait. So this is me. In fact, I'm all 5 of these. I'm going to be right here. Do you ever go to the grocery store and you look at the lines and you estimate by, you multiply the number of people by the average number of things in their cart and you get in what you think is going to be the fastest line, but then you put an imaginary you in the other line that you were sort of wondering about and then you watch to see if you or the imaginary you wins? You ever do that? Or like you drive up to an intersection and like you're like, last minute, you cut that guy off so you get that one more spot. Yeah? How about, do you ever microwave something for 30 seconds and then do something else? Like get on your phone, right? That's multitasking. Number 3, how many of you are always multitasking? How many of you are on conference calls and you prefer to keep the video off so you can answer email while you're pretending to listen? Anybody do that? Anybody on video email and you have your phone down where the video can't see it? And you like, try to do that? I do both of those. Okay. How many of you are accumulating things that you don't need or use? Does anybody have a book anywhere in their office or house that they meant to read and haven't read? Let's see a show of hands real quick. Anybody have a book? Anybody have 5 or more books? Yeah? Okay. Hey, somebody voted. You're cheating. You're not allowed to vote yet. That was probably Mike. It was you, wasn't it? Yes, it was. I guarantee it was. Okay, last one is sunset fatigue. So how many of you get home from a day of work or whatever, or just at the end of the day, even if you work at home, at the end of the day, you're still kind of rushing around, but you don't really have any reason to rush around. Or you feel like when you go to bed, you don't go to bed feeling, satisfied, I accomplished it. There's no sense of joy or wonder to your life, but you go to bed feeling like, I didn't get it all done, and I'm probably not going to get it all done tomorrow. How many of you have kids, and you're like, everything has to be a race to try to get them to do whatever it is faster. Let's see who can brush their teeth the fastest. Let's see who can get in their PJs the fastest. Let's see who can eat their ice cream the fastest. Nobody else? Just me? Okay. So let's vote. You can either go to this website and vote, or you can just text the word City Light to 22333. And then once that texts you back, you can vote 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. Or 6. So look, 1 is 0, 2 is 1, 3 is 2. You guys figured it out, right? All right, here we go. So we're going to watch this. We're going to see if anybody has hurry sickness in this room. 50% of voters are at 4. Come on, nobody's going to be honest and say that you've got all 5 of them? All right, I'll text in. I know for sure that I have. Oh, there we go. We have some honest people. All right. Okay, so let that generate while we're talking. So here's the thing. When we've got such this I'm always doing, I'm always behind, I've always got more, there's never enough time, you know what we neglect? We neglect the things that are most important. We neglect the things that we need to do. And what we do is we do the urgent instead of doing the necessary. We do the urgent, the demanding, instead of doing the important. We do things that feel like they have to get done instead of things that will actually give us life. And this lifestyle leads to burnout. It leads to a dry faith. It actually leads to breaking of our relationships. And so how are we supposed to live in a world that's constantly at pace like this? How are we supposed to live with this? You know, when I was growing up, a long time ago, we didn't even have computers that were as powerful as this thing I carry around in my pocket. Right? Isn't that crazy? This is like a legit high power computer that is on me at all times, that I can communicate with anybody at any time. I can check work. I mean, my dad, when he had a job when I was little, when he came home from work, he was done until they invented the computer. And then he was never done. You're never done. I can get texts about work at 2 o'clock in the morning if I want to. You can check Facebook. You can veg out. Like, what if you sit down and you have your kid sitting next to you and you could have a moment, but you haven't checked your fantasy score in 30 seconds. So you got to check fantasy football, or you got to check Instagram. Maybe someone posted another picture of how great their life is and you just have to see it. I just got to see it. Click, click. Got to see it. Click. Have you ever watched, I'm not picking on teenagers, I love you, but have you ever watched a teenager scroll through Instagram? It is phenomenal how much information they process. They don't even, like, they do this thing, they go the thumb flip pause, but they do it like they're a machine. It's like, but they're looking at it. They process like 6,000 images in under 30 seconds, and every once in a while, they'll double click it and give it a heart. Teenagers, am I right? Is there one teenager in here today? Where are our teenagers? It's weird. Okay, so we have some healthy people. I'd like to meet this one person right here. Okay. I guess that's more than one, 9%. Are we done voting? We max out at 100. That's all we paid for. So if 100 of you voted, we're done. Okay, so I want to talk about this. Well, how do we deal with this kind of environment that we live in? And I want to look to Jesus. Oh, I don't want to look to Jesus. Forgot about that. All right. So I had a conversation. This is what I think of you, Jesus. All right. So I had a conversation with my kids recently, and I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about, you know what sustains my faith? It's not all the stuff that everyone sees. It's what I do in secret when no one's looking. I have a personal, experiential relationship with Jesus that I have to invest in. And I started to explain this to my kids because I started to get afraid that they never saw me do this because I don't do it in front of them. I spend time with God on my own. Mandy spends time with God on her own. But see, they always tell you about parenting that kids do what they see you do more than what they hear you say, right? But how are they going to get this if they never see me doing it? So I had this conversation about our house. It's okay. I sense the presence behind me. So these are things in our house that no one else sees, right? When you come to my house, I don't take you to see our water closet or our heater closet or our sewer. I popped that off just for this teaching. Do you believe that? No, that was from a long time ago. But if I neglected these, like I have to pay money to get this cleaned once a year, this cleaned once a year, this cleaned every other year, right? We have to keep these systems working. We wouldn't have water to drink. Like let's say I just spent like $2,000 to renovate my kitchen, and I got this beautiful faucet and awesome counters, and it's so gorgeous. I'm like, oh, look how great my kitchen looks. And you'd be like, wow, I love their house. And then you turn on the spigot, and it's like this horrible, dirty brown water. Has that ever happened to you? And you're like, oh, I forgot to change the filter. Nobody? Come on. One person? Yeah, see? Young married, so you didn't know that you had to do that yet now. Right? If I don't take care of this, we're going to be freezing in a little while. Or actually, that's where our hot water comes from, you know, freezing cold showers. And if you don't take care of this, you know what happens, right? All right, so when I was growing up, I'm not saying my dad didn't take care of it, but we had a sewer problem, and it bubbled up to the surface of our lawn and then created a beautiful sewer river down our hill. And all the neighbors came, and we would sit around and have bonfires around it. No, it smelled so bad. And my dad made me play in it every day. So we take care of the unsightly things because they're the most important. Right? It doesn't matter how beautiful my lawn is if there's a river of sewer flowing through it, which, by the way, is great for the grass. So in case you ever need that. So we need to take care of the parts of our life that no one sees, and yet we're always hurried. We're always on the move. So this is something that I want to learn from Jesus. It's not so much anything he said, but it's something that he did. So I'm going to show you a couple places in the Gospels. And if you're not familiar with the Bible, there's four books that talk about that are eyewitness accounts of the life of Jesus, okay? And so they're written by four people who were followers, contemporaries of Jesus, who lived and watched those events. They often interviewed other people who were there at the events and compiled those stories because they didn't want anybody to miss out on the life of Jesus. So here's one. The news about Jesus spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and be healed of their sicknesses. See, here's the thing that Jesus constantly struggled with. He would do these miracles. He would see people get healed. He would multiply food. And in a time where there was a lot of poverty and a lot of hunger, when he met people's practical needs, they would just flock to him, right? And so he would have thousands of people following him around. And routinely what we see Jesus do is he would often withdraw to lonely places and pray. See, Jesus knew he had to take care of the inside self. He had to find that time where he could be alone with God and cultivate that relationship outside of the busyness of life and ministry and work. See, and there's examples of him doing this over and over and over again. He did this often to handle the demands of ministry. So before a long day, look, if you look at the end, his disciples found him and they said, "Everyone's looking for you." Early in the morning, before it was even light, he snuck off and went somewhere to pray all by himself. And within hours, there were hundreds of people looking for him. I mean, that's the life he lived. And to, in order to keep up with that, he needed to cultivate this one-on-one time with his heavenly Father. He needed to cultivate that time. See, he even taught his disciples how to do it. He took Peter, James, and John, his kind of core, his inner circle. He took them up to a mountainside to pray at one point. He went there to make important decisions. So this is right before he chose his 12 disciples, his 12 followers. You've probably heard that expression before, even if you're not familiar with church. But out of all the followers, he picked 12 to really train for 3 years and then release them as leaders of the church once he died and rose again. So he went out to the mountainside and prayed. He spent the whole night praying, seeking God's face. How do I make this decision? This is how he dealt with grief. When his cousin, John the Baptist, was beheaded, it says that he, when he heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. But even at that time, this is a really interesting story, as he went out into the Sea of Galilee, crowds walked around the bank and tried to catch him when he landed on the other side. Crazy the life that Jesus lived. And it is also how he prepared for the cross. And many of us are familiar with the story of Easter, know that he went and prayed alone. He took his disciples with him, and then he went off to a place that was actually like a cave. And he went in there, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. He actually had conversations with God. How am I going to do this? You really can see the humanity of Jesus here, can't you? Constantly, the demands of and expectations of people were weighing on him. The reality of life, loved ones dying, loved ones hurting, the disappointments of relationships. Think about being betrayed by one of the 12 people you picked to carry on your legacy. And he met every one of those with, I need to go be alone with the one true God. I need to spend some time. See, he took care of his faith. And this is the tagline I want to use for today. He fed his faith. And this is what we need to do. We need to feed our faith so that our faith can feed us. See, a lot of times we get into these situations in life and we're like, man, my faith is weak, or my faith is being tested, or hard times have come and I wonder where God is and I doubt where God is and I'm hurting. And yet we haven't taken a second to feed our faith in years or months. And we wonder why our faith is depleted. We wonder why we're weak. Has anybody ever gone on an extended fast of any kind? The longest fast I've ever done is 3 days, and it is wild what happens to your body when you don't eat. Even just for 3 days, like the simplest tasks just take it out of you. You're just so weak. And so this is really what I want to focus on today. And so I'm gonna invite, I have one more thing I want to say before we do that. But then Mandy, you can come up if you want to. So Mandy's going to come up and help me talk about this. Our faith. What I want to say about faith is this. I think some people have been taught that faith is like, it's rules, and it's a religious act, and it's regulations you have to follow, and you wonder, like, why would I feed that, or I don't even know how to feed that, or faith kind of seems like you go on Sunday, and then you're done. And so where I want to drive home, if we want to connect with the space between us, we want to bridge that gap, we are looking for, and Jesus is offering a faith that's so much more than going to church. See, he talked, I'm going to show you three different passages from writers of what we call the New Testament. So faith is referred to, he's talking about our belief in Jesus, and he says, we have this hope as an anchor for our soul. See, the faith that is a faith that you know deep in your heart, that you've cultivated one-on-one with God, like Jesus going off to pray, can serve as an anchor in those times of life when things start to push you around. Jesus said that he wanted us to have faith in us like a spring of water that was welling up, like living water. See, our faith is meant to be something that can refresh us, that can quench the thirst from living in this world that is constantly sucking it out of us. And our faith is also meant to give us our identity. It's meant to give us our strength. Jesus said, listen, I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, we will bear much fruit, or you will bear much fruit. We're wondering, like, what's my purpose, God? What's my calling? Why am I here? Who am I created to be? This is the kind of faith we're talking about. I just wanted to make that distinction because I think, depending on your church background, or maybe you haven't had church background, faith sounds like, like hopeful, wishful thinking, or faith sounds like rules or church attendance. Like, Jesus wasn't talking about that. And there's power in community, and that's going to be another week, okay? But we have to take responsibility for our faith. We have to own the health of our faith. And so Mandy's going to help me demonstrate this.
Okay. Let's give Mandy a round of applause.
There's a transition that happens in life that's a good one, where you start feeding yourself, right? Yes? Have we all made that transition? In the natural, like it's like a big day when your kid starts to feed themselves. Man, this is so good. I need the clicker. This podcast is ruined. This one's not even going online. All right. Okay. So listen, secondhand faith only gives you half of what you need. And what I mean by that is, it is good what you're doing right now. I do this all the time. I love listening to teachings. People give me insights that I wouldn't find on my own. And so I listen to teachings throughout the week. I listen to podcasts on studying the Bible, on leadership. I read books. Those are good. But there's something else that happens when you experience a relationship with Jesus, okay? So we need to move, and we all need to make this transition. And some of you have been doing this for years, and it's become a ritual, and you've lost the relationship. So I'm going to say the first thing we need to do is we need to go from always getting our food from others and start trying to get our food for ourselves. Now, you can't go all the way in that direction. There's a balance, right? But secondhand faith is only going to be so much. See, something happens when you wrestle with doubt and questions, and when you wrestle with the text, when you read parts of the Bible, and you wrestle, there's something that happens when you own that and you go through that, that becomes more real and goes deeper into your soul than when someone else tells it to you. Right? I mean, we know this just in general in life. It's always so much more fulfilling when we figure out something on our own, isn't it? Like, I don't know if anybody likes to try to be like, you know, a hack repairman, but I am. And I love trying to fix things. And when I can fix it, it always takes longer than it would have if I would have hired somebody. But when I can fix it, man, like, seriously, there's like a high to that for me. I'm like, feel so good about life and myself. And like, yeah, I'm going to fix something else, right? There's something that happens when you can conquer things on your own. When you can do things that require your effort and your vulnerability. But see, the thing that keeps us from this is that it's scary, I think. It's scary for me to go be with God alone. Like, if you've never done that before, that's really intimidating. What am I supposed to expect? What's going to happen? What if nothing happens? What if I don't know what to say? What if I never feel that God is there, right? And also, it's vulnerable. Like, it's really putting yourself out there when you try to talk to someone who you can't see, right? I mean, okay, I'm going to just talk to nobody. And I don't know, what am I doing now? Like, you know, it can get vulnerable. It can feel like when you ever do that out of body thing where like you're watching yourself do something and you're like, what are you doing? You ever get that? Like, you know, if you don't feel that God's near, or you're reading the Bible and you're like, I have no idea. like, I don't know, like, you know, Josaphat begat, blop to blop begat, suki su, you know, like, how is this supposed to mean anything for my life, you know? And you read it, and you read it once, maybe you try twice, and you're like, I must not have it. You know, it must not be for me. And so you give up. So there's something powerful that comes, though, when you wrestle through that point. When you wrestle through, I prayed and didn't feel like God was with me. I read and didn't get anything out of it. I sought God and I didn't feel. When you wrestle through it and you get to the point. See, what we need is we all need our own God experiences. We all need those times when it's like, I saw God in my life and I can't deny it. See, when the rubber hits the road and your faith is challenged, because it will be, Christian giving a great teaching isn't going to do it for you. And I try. Like, I get like two or three a year that are pretty good. So, but you having discovered something about Jesus on your own is going to go miles, miles for your faith. So we need to own our faith. We need to, there's literally granola all under my feet. Okay. The second thing we need to do, our soul longs for relational faith. See, we don't long for religion. We don't. We weren't built for religion. We weren't created with a longing, with a hole in our heart that needed to be filled by religion. Religion was a vehicle that I think man has made to try to drive us towards God, but sometimes we just get in the car and sit there. Right? The Bible isn't even the point. The Bible is a sign. It directs you to the point. The point is Jesus. See, now, I could tell you a lot of stuff about Mandy, right? She's going to seriously be so mad at me for this. But I could tell you, like, Mandy and I went to high school together. She went to Wilmington Christian School. I can tell you that she was born in Idaho. She lived there till she was 12. I can tell you that she's super creative, and she likes to take old beat-up furniture and make it look amazing and beautiful. I can tell you that she's an athlete. Like, she can kick my butt in every possible way. I mean it, totally, 100%. She does these video workouts that I try to do them, and I look like, you know, I look like I'm dying, you know, like my body doesn't even go that way. And, you know, you look at the person on the video and then you look at yourself and you're like, I'm not even doing the same exercise. But she looks exactly the same as the person on, you know, she's like, she's passionate about other people. Like she would like never do anything for herself if given the chance. Just like, I buy her stuff. And like, if I don't get like specific gift cards that she would struggle to give away, she'll give away her birthday presents if she finds someone in need. Like, literally, I want, because I can't buy her stuff, because she's like, it's my birthday and I don't want you to pick stuff out for me that I don't like. All right, so we have a very honest relationship. Okay, so it's fine. I tried it for years and I was like, but it's special because I picked it out. And she's like, no, it's a waste of money, right? I don't want it. So I give her, you know, I give her money. I give her cash. No, I give her gift cards. And one year I gave her a gift card, and it was like, this is yours. You know, you got to use it on you. You got to use it on you. And like, then she found out about this family who was going through a hard time. And she was like, babe, I don't want you to be mad at me, but I used that to buy groceries for them. And it's like, but I don't want to take it out of our budget. It's like, that's just who she is. But the thing is, if you just saw this picture and heard me talk about her, would you really know her? You wouldn't. It's not enough to just hear about God. I'm not getting Mandy and God confused, just in case you're wondering. I just transitioned there. I mean, sometimes I do, but like, if you, that, all that description I just gave of Mandy, would, you know, spend an hour talking to her and it would be so much more. You would know, you would hear her laugh. You would see her sense of humor. You would feel her paying attention to you. Right? Like, she actually pays attention to you when you talk. It's amazing. You would sense her care about every little detail of your life. And then you would get texted by her every 5 minutes for the rest of your life. It's just how she does it. See, our soul doesn't long for just hearing about God. It's not enough for us just to hear me talk about it or hear other people talk about it. Our soul was built for relationship. And I want to just say, listen, if you're here today and you're skeptical of Jesus, you're skeptical of faith, or maybe you've been in the church and like, this is what drove you out, because it never felt relational. It always felt religious. You might have left church for the right reasons. You know, you might have walked away because you were being shown the wrong faith. And Jesus never meant for us to be bound up in religious ritual. What he wanted was for relationship. And so maybe what you need and what I need is to create some space in our life that gets outside the hustle and outside all the stuff that's at this level and get down deeper to what's really real about life and connect with a God who loves you. Even if you're skeptical, even if you don't believe in Jesus, what's the harm of you just spending some time trying to talk to him? See what happens. I think, honestly, that is one of the great places to start in faith, is just to start having a conversation with God. I want to tell you right now, it doesn't feel any different for you than it does for me. I don't have some like special light that turns on in the sky when I pray. You know, there isn't some like voice that appears like,
"Hello, Christian."
You know,
"It is God. Thank you for talking to me again."
Right? I don't know why God is a robot in my head, but right? I don't, there's not like 17 angels are like, "Come down," right? When I'm about to pray and say, "Oh, I'm in God's presence." You know, like, prayer for me just feels like I'm talking to myself. It's just the same as you. But the more I do it, the more I discover his heart for me. And I start to experience him. I start to feel his presence. I start to hear his voice sometimes. I start to see him moving in the areas that I'm praying about. I start to read the Bible and all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, I was just thinking about this. This is for me. I didn't even know this was in the Bible. That's amazing. You get like this tingling, who's watching me? You know, like it's God like moving in your heart. Your soul longs for this relationship. If you're new to faith and you've been coming for a while and you've been loving the teachings and you've been loving small group and you've been serving on teams, but like that this is the line that you need to cross next. I just want to just encourage you, like making this your own is the next line for you. And we have, listen, you don't have to just go blindly. Like we offer classes about this. We have small group leaders who can mentor you in this, right? It's a learned thing. It's a lifelong journey. But I just want to just encourage you. And then for those of you who are like, yeah, I know this. I've been doing this my whole life. Here's the challenge for me is, am I keeping it fresh? You know, because there's a powerful place where Jesus is talking to the religious people of his day, which would be me. And he says, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. And I wonder how many times I pray and I'm just like, you know, dear God, I pray for this, I pray for that, I pray for this, like I always do. And my heart's just somewhere else. You know, there are times when the shower, I've said this before, I know, but the shower is like a real good place of meditation and prayer for me. I get in the shower, I really look forward to it. And I start praying, and there'll be like 5-6 minutes later, I'll realize I'm like daydreaming. I'm not praying anymore. I'm just thinking about like, you know, right? Like what if I was young and could still play soccer and I was in the state final and I scored a goal? Like, you know, do you ever daydream? No. What if I came up with an app idea that made me $1 billion? Like, what would life be like? You know? And then you're like, wait a second, I was praying about my children. Okay, let's get back to reality. Jesus, please help my children not to be evil. Okay. Your soul longs for relational faith. So all of us can take one more step with this. So the key is we need to feed our faith so our faith can feed us. Here's the deal. If you're not connected to Jesus and if you have no foundation built for days and weeks and months and years eventually of connecting with him one-on-one, then when you are hit with something that challenges your faith, there'll be nothing left to draw from. It's like your savings account, honestly. And it's exactly the same because no one ever wants to invest in their savings account. You can't really see it. You can't see the benefit. There's way more things going on in your life that seem much more important, right? You'd rather spend your money pretty much anywhere else. And yet when that day comes, you're going to try to draw from it. And there's only going to be in there what you've put in there. I really think this is similar. When life hits you in such a way that you need to make a withdrawal on your faith, what's going to be in there? I think about that for me too. Like the more that I'm connecting and feeding my faith by building this time where I am owning it, where I am feeding myself, where I'm taking the time to be with God, then when the day comes where my faith is tested, I'm going to have a lot to draw on. I'm going to have a lot of experiences where I can say, but I know I saw God here and I saw God here and I saw God here. It's a quick story and then we'll end. The band can come on up. So I know I talk about this a lot because it was obviously a pivotal moment in our life. If you're new here, you know, we lost two children to stillbirth in between our third and fourth living children. And on the eve of the, when we lost Malachi, he was our first one, we had committed to reading the Bible together for a year every night. So Mandy and I, every night, I literally thought you were going to eat some of that. I almost just like went and dove across the table and tackled you right there. So when Mandy and I were reading the Bible every night, it was a commitment we made, and you don't have to do it that way, but we were, so a chapter every night together before we went to bed. And so when we came home from the hospital after having delivered Malachi, I looked at her and I was like, I didn't want to put it on her. You know, I don't want to, like, this was such a painful and emotional experience. I was like, do we do this? And she said, yeah, of course. Like, we do this. So we went to the chapter that was next. We were just reading along. We went to the chapter that was next. And I kid you not, the words that were in there were, it was like we were being punched in the gut in a good way that was saying, listen, I know what's going on, you know, God to us, and I'm still with you. The words were, when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, right? When you go through the waters, you will not drown. And then you go a little bit further and it says, I will call your children. Isn't that crazy? From the east and the west, is this talking about how these children have been displaced and weren't where they were supposed to be. I will call them from the east and the west and the north and the south, and they will change a generation. He started talking about the impact these kids that were misplaced would have. And I knew in that moment the story of Malachi and hope would impact people's lives for the rest of our lives. Those are things that I just can't plan. And there, it's a story for me that when I start to doubt God's goodness, or when I start to doubt God's presence, or even the existence of God, because I doubt all those things still, I can go back to that as like a stake in the ground for my faith. It was a time where because I was feeding my faith, now my faith can feed me. It can sustain me. It can be an anchor for my soul, like we read about. It can hold me strong and fast. So we want to close here. We always close with, guys, the clicker's gone. Oh, we always close with a time of response and reflection. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to sing a song, and you're welcome to sing along. And I just want to say, if you've never tried this before, I want to challenge you just for this week, 1 week, take 5 minutes a day and do what Jesus did. Go be alone somewhere. If you don't know what to do in this time, there's lots of resources online that you can find, or you can text me or email me, and I will personally talk to you and give you some methods for how to do it, okay? But you can pray, think about a verse, apply it to your life. You can write it down. You know what I'll do? On Facebook, I'll put out some resources too this week, okay? But just start feeding your faith on your own. See what happens. Share your experiences with your small group. And if you have been doing this, I want to challenge you this week to take it a step further, and you know what that means. You know where you've been lacking. While we're singing, if you'd like to get prayer, see, some of you here today, it's time for you to make a decision to say yes to starting a relationship with Jesus for the first time. It's time to get out of religion and start that relationship. Jesus didn't go off on a solitary place to have religion. He went to meet with his Father because he needed that relationship, and that's what's being offered to us. So we'll have some people over at the wall who are ready to pray for you. So if a couple people could go over to the wall to pray for them. If you would like to say yes to a relationship with Jesus for the first time, just go over there. You don't have to do anything crazy. They'll just pray with you. If you are struggling in your faith in any way, go on over there. We're going to spend about 5 minutes singing, and they'll pray for you, and then we'll close.